Blog Talk Radio.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, and it's praise to Allah, the guardian of all the cherisher and sustainer of all the world. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika lahu, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. صلى الله عليه وسلم وآله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد. We thank Allah for blessing us to be Muslims here in what Elijah Muhammad used to call this place. I always like to say this quote, you probably never say this, in the hills of North America, you know. But I remember the son, Elijah Muhammad, coming back later saying, America the beautiful and America the ugly. And we know that is a very apt description of this place. It's a place where a lot of freedoms are allowed, and there's some semblance of freedom, but there's some systematic and psychological oppression that still remains with us here in 2021. Praise be to Allah. So we're going to come by with reciting from the wonderful part of the Surah 55, pardon me, 45, that I like to recite, kind of set the tone, so to speak. My spirit, and hopefully in your spirit too. So Allah reveals 45:36. فَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ رَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَرَبِّ الْأَرْضِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Then praise be to Allah, Lord of the heavens and Lord of the earth, Lord and cherisher of all of the world and of all of the knowledge faces. وَلَهُ الْكِبْرِيَاءُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And it will tell me the glory, the greatness throughout the heavens and the earth, that he is exalted in power, full of wisdom. Praise be to Allah, the sharing and expanding of all of the world, and again, of all of the knowledge nations. So, as you all know, July 4th is what is called Independence Day. And I like to simply call it Interdependence Day. And in fact, I would like to go further and say that every day of our lives is an interdependence day. Now, interdependence is on Allah, right? The Father who was the Allah. Without Allah, we would have no life. Without Allah, we have no sun, no water, no food. We would not even be in existence. All of you can bear witness to that fact. That he is no part of the maker. So Allah reveals in the Quran, this is a wonderful ayah. Ya ayyuhan nasu antum mukarrahu illa Allahi wa Allahu huwa ghaniyul hamid. That is, all mankind, all human beings, you are those who are in need of Allah. For Allah is free of need, the praise word, the one who is worthy of praise incessantly, all of the time. So, I believe this is how he translates the word El Quran, that we are in need. That you can say that Allah is addressing each and every one of these human beings that he has created in the past, is living now, and all of his people, as the poor. El Quran is the poor. The poor. Like, if you're poor and you are in need of something, you are lacking something. So Allah is letting us know that we are always lacking if we do not focus on Him as the one who we depend on for our sustenance, for our spiritual development, for our moral development, and all of those things that we as human beings need to survive in a very peaceful state, be at peace with one another. So Allah is telling you and I that he's poor. Bezos, he's poor. All of these people who have material things, they are poor if they don't have Allah as the focus and the emphasis in their lives. Because you always know that anyone that leaves here, they don't take gold with them. They might put it in the casket. They don't take diamonds with them. They don't take anything of this material world. And all they have with them is their record. out there that each and every one of our records are in a Kitab and Mubina, that is a plain book, a plain record. So there's seven items in the Quran where Allah uses the two attributes that we know of, Al-Ghani and Al-Hamid. He uses them together in seven ayahs in the Quran. So I would encourage you, as I have done on more than one occasion, to look at these ayahs, to look at these words, to see the ayahs that's before and after, and you'll get some understanding of what Al-Ghani truly is. Al-Ghani, the one who has no need of anything. So if you go into the Arabic dictionary, you find that the second form of this verb, Taniya, means to sing, to rejoice. So if you are rich, on the material side, they really rejoice. Buku money, right? But the richness that Allah refers to is you are rich if you are rich in love, if you are rich in taqwa, rich in vis-a-vis, in the cause of God. If we are not rich in that area, then we are still a part of the what? Al-Fuqara, the poor, the poor. And so in the Quran, as most of you know, Allah set forth in the surah, reader surah 9, where he says that if anything existing in this world is more dear to you than Allah, his messenger, and servant in this cause, then wait until my command. He's telling you and I that we do not love our business, our homes, our wives, our mates, all of those material things. We should not love any of that more than we love him, the messenger, and striving in Allah's cause. Those are what I call, as I did in the past, the love priority. So where do you at? Where do you all stand? Where do I stand? Is that a focus in our lives to strive in God's cause? And we know that when we strive in God's cause, it don't just mean just spreading Islam. It means knowing all of those things that we know are virtuous and right. But striving in spreading Islam is a part of going into the way of God. So I don't know what you all do, but you should have a Quran, some pocket Qurans in your car everywhere you go. Finding someone that you can give the Quran to. Finding someone that you can give a message of Islam to them. That's our obligation, right, from the Quran. Allah tells us to call the people to the way of God with beautiful preaching and wisdom. This is a full-time job. And we know that we should love for our fellow human beings what we love for ourselves. Inshallah. So another ayah that Allah uses for dealing with Al-Ghani, Kalu, Kekala, Allahu, Waladan, Subhanahu, Huwam Ghaniyum Lahu, Ma Fi Samawati, Wa Ma Fi Al-Ardi, In Indahu, Min Sultanin, Bihadha, Et Kuluna, Adallahi, Mala, Ta'alamun. They say, who are they? They say, and also the Christians who are born back, they say that Allah has begotten a son. And then Allah says, Subhanahu, glory be to him. To me, Allah speaking of himself in the third person, right? Subhanahu, glory be to him. Because who is him? He is self-sufficient. He is Al-Ghani. Again, he doesn't need a son. He doesn't need anything that he has created. He is Al-Wahid. He is the one who was here before anything ever existed. If you imagine that, when you put your mind on that, before Allah, there was nothing. So yeah, Allah has been here all of the time. He created the whole creation. Now that's something to really reflect upon. But at the same time, it's a logic that tells us that time cannot go back to the court. Remember, okay, here's time right here. And then you say, okay, then something happened before that, something happened before that, something happened before that. You'd be going back in time forever if you accepted that idea. So we have to look at it as time is here, Allah created time, and time keeps on slipping or moving into the future. It's slipping, so that's what the song is. We have to be like wind.
His father died while he was in the womb of his mother Amina, right? So he comes out, and his mother dies before he was even 5 or 6 years old. 5 or 6 years old, I believe, is the report has. He's a breeder. His uncle, Abu Talib, he died. I'll just look at his grandfather first. His grandfather died, and then Abu Talib died just at the time when the Meccans and Abu Sufyan and Abu Lahab and all of them was plotting to assassinate him. You know? They starved the Muslims. They boycotted the Muslims. And his wife, Khadija, she died reportedly from what? Malnutrition. Because she couldn't get the proper food that she needed. So all of these things, you know, was a part of Muhammad's life. But in spite of all of the grief and all of the persecution and all these things, what did he do? He still kept his original, loving, kind nature. And when Allah gave him the victory, he said, amnesty to those who was against him, those who fought vehemently against him, you see. So that's why he's our example, because he endured probably more than anything that we'll have to endure in our life. How many of you sitting on the floor of your dad was dead when you were born? Probably none of you, you know? So we should look at Muhammad as an example because he stayed the course no matter what happened. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. So Allah, again, reveals, there was indeed in them an excellent example for you to follow, for those who hope in Allah and in the last day. But if any of you turn away, truly Allah is free of all want and worthy of all praise. In another ayah, Allah says that I can destroy y'all creation and put in a new creation, a new people, Allah says, it will not be like you. Allah says a very, very emphatic in this glorious plan. Allahumma yastahimuka wa yastahiruka wa nasmulika 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 wa nasmulika. Oh Allah, we ask for your help, we seek your forgiveness, we can even need to trust in you, and we extol and exalt you in the best manner. And we are thankful to you, Allah, and we are not of the ungrateful. Again, in the first part, another ayah of mine, of the seven that I mentioned to you. And I hope that you go back and follow what I'm suggesting. You can do a concordance of the Quran to find out all of the ayahs where Ramadani and Al-Hamid are used together. And you know, a lot defines different words, right? And a lot of times we as Muslims, we as human beings, will take a word and redefine it. We've got a lot of that amongst the Muslims today, you know? And the classic one is Allah tells us in the Quran, and we are asking dua for him in the last of the Prophet. And we say to Allah, and you Allah, are our Maulana, our protector. So what do we have in Pakistan? Maulana this, Maulana that. They took the title that Allah has reserved for himself to say, I'm a Maulana. I'm going to protect the truth. No, you're not. You know? So they redefine words. So Allah has defined Islam in the Quran and defined words in the Quran. Allah says that Muhammad, you are not their wakil. You are not their disposer of affairs. Allah said to Muhammad, that's not your business. Your business is to deliver the message, right? Clearly and openly. But what do we have when a brother wants to marry a sister? A sister says, you got to talk to my wakil, you know? I'm not saying that's a bad idea to have someone to help, you know, one to find a good mate. But I'm just saying that this is a term that Allah is saying that even Muhammad is not a wakil. So how did you and me, how many people be a wakil? So this is a lot of things that is going to have to be dealt with in our religion over time. Different things. It's much more like it. And it goes back to being free-minded, and not just following tradition and culture just because somebody says to you, this is the way to go. study the Quran and find out. Like, I know a brother in Korea, I'm just going to say this real quick. He was reading in Surah 20, where it says, and when you recite your prayers, don't recite them too high or too low, right? But recite your prayers in a middling tone, okay? So this brother was a member of the master, and I said, yeah, I'm going to say Fred. Then Fred, and he's from here, because I'm talking about him. And so he started reciting Asr and Dur out loud at the master. So you know what happened, right? So you got to go, man. You know our tradition is that we say Asr and Dur silently. So now this brother's up in Atlanta somewhere, you know. But he stuck to it. He continues to do it, and everybody said, okay, you got to go. But again, as I said to you in the Quran, it clearly says to recite the prayers in the middle of the home. So the question would be, when did this take place if the Asr and Dur become silent? And so I said to myself in a central way, I enjoy my salah when I see my crowd. I do. I enjoy the Maghrib and the Fajr and the Isha more than the silent Asr and silent Dur. I do personally. But that's the whole moon falls flat if you have to deal with it. So, here's one of the alleged reports of what Muhammad said. I like it. It says, Laysa minna man lam yatadanna bil Quran. So I say, he is not one of us who is not enriching or feels enriched and content and satisfied with what? The Quran. This is a saying of the Prophet. What is this saying to you? This is the enricher right here. This is the enricher for all of us. And Allah says, فَصَلَّاهُ تَسِيلًا. I hear the brother nod, you know what I'm talking about. And Allah said, we have explained it. A complete, perfect explaining. We have explained Islam completely in the Quran. This is where Allah said, I'll just leave it right there on that night. But I like to come to the conclusion here. And you know, we as African Americans here, descended from slaves, we endured the worst slavery and mistreatment that the world has ever known. A lot of people try to say, oh, this is due. But the Bible, if you believe anything about the Bible, the Bible says that the seed of Abraham will be in bondage for 400 years, right? Genesis 15, 13. The Jews were never in bondage for 400 consecutive years. So the Bible is talking about you and I, African Americans. And then Allah says, that I will bring the seed of Abraham out with great justice. Can we see it happening now? So, but sure, you know, some of the African Americans have that money. They haven't realized that they have obligations to pull the rest of us up. But a few of them are beginning to do it. And in time, we're going to pool our resources together, Muslims, all people, and do what Allah wants us to do. Be a seen in a solid structure, lined up behind what Allah wants us to do. And that's what we're hoping for, and that's what we pray for, that that happens. So, we endure that. But Allah tells us in the Quran this. Oppression is worse than slaughter. In other words, just go kill me, kids. Instead of you be killed outright, just to be oppressed, right? Oppression is worse than slaughter. And we've been dealing with this for many years. And it's continuing. And they're trying to really tighten the reins in order to make it even worse than what it was before the Voting Rights Act and all of this. You know, we know what's going on in the news. So there's much more that we can say on that. And you can just see from the word independence. It's not the independence of self-government, self-rule, home rule, self-legislation, self-determination, freedom, liberty, self-sufficiency, self-reliance, self-support. And so we knock out all of that as a definition because independence don't even exist in the life of human beings. You need some human beings to do something. Right? when the baby come here, just as if the baby came here and then the mama just walked away. So what happened? The baby couldn't survive, right? So we all have an awareness, we should have the awareness that we are interdependent upon different things. But we also want to have the mind that if we ask someone for something, the fact that the dua that the prophet said, oh Allah, bless me to be free and independent of having to ask people for things and they don't want to hear. That's one of the dua of the prophet. I don't know it verbatim, but I know that's one of them that is one of the dua. So, concluding the first part here, I just want to mention to you a little bit about Frederick Douglass. And if you haven't read the autobiography of Frederick Douglass, I encourage you to do so. And it's called My Bondage, My Freedom, I think that's how it goes. In that particular autobiography, he mentions this. He said that the slave master whooped him more on Monday morning than any other time. Why? Because the slave master went to church on Sunday, so did the slave. But he was letting you know that what we were talking about at church ain't got nothing to do with you. You're still a slave, you know? This is what he's giving the psychology of what the slave master did to him, you know? So let me just share this with you in close. Probably contemporary stuff, but it has relation. Recently, I have to call him the devil. But maybe Allah might forgive him. But his name is Donald Rumsfeld. And he is the one that was telling this lie that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction that precipitated the Americans going over there having a war with Saddam, right? And hundreds of thousands of people died because of that lie, okay? So, they just said the other day that this man, Rumsfeld, he bought the plantation where this guy named Ed Covey oppressed Frederick Douglass. They sent Frederick Douglass to that place because he's so wild and uncontrollable. We might break this man, in other words, but we might have to break this man, you know. So they sent him to Ed Covey, C-O-V-E-Y. Check him out. And he whooped him and beat him and did all kind of stuff for him. Okay? So this house, Rumsfeld bought it. And they called the place, had the nerve to call the place, Mount Mercy. Where it was whooping these slaves. They had a special place where these hired to get them to submit people. Send them to Covey. He'd take care of them, you know. And they had another call to place Mount Mercy. Well, so he didn't change the name of it. And the same Rumsfeld guy that was telling me about, he was a part of that waterboarding deal. You know, where they was trying to get some of the so-called terrorists and put them in the water, you know, have them almost die, put them up. You got anything to tell us now? Put it right. You got anything to tell us now? You know? They just tortured the person, you know? So, you can see, and I can see, some people, they are bent on wickedness, no matter what you do. So what do we have to do? We have to be bent on righteousness. Bent on righteousness and trying to unify ourselves so that we can make a difference and make a change in this world, just like Ibrahim and his followers did, just like Muhammad and his followers did. It can reoccur. So I'm going to close with Surah 2, verse 148, I believe, such as coming through my mind. While including which has been who are Muwandi has, the status of Zara, Ailan has a cool old Yakti. بسم الله جميعا إن الله على كل شيء قدير. That is, and so each is a character. I believe this probably says that each is a goal. But what has something to do with the character? So I'm giving an added translation, if you will, to the word what. Watch from his face. Face shows character. Face shows criminality, right? crazy to show homosexual husband, all right? Sometimes you can see a guy, you know, even open up his mouth. Then the next minute he tell you, yeah, I got a wife. a male wife, you know? So the face is shows the character in you. So I'll tell you that to eat, you can help. Do it on this. So just subscribe together, as in a race. The Sabbath will come out for all that is good. So you should be racing toward good. But you're not racing toward good against your brother. And Allah lets you know that it's not a race against your brother. It's a race within yourself to try to measure up to the life example of Muhammad. Regardless of what the other people are doing. That's radical, that one T in that word that I just said, lets you know this is an internal race. Any form of the verse is that something that's an internal operation within something. So I'm telling you and I subscribe. Then I'll read these like as in a race. It's not really a race against the person. The person's out there outside of himself. It's an internal race. Tad means you in Arabic. Those that know something about the pronoun, tad means you. The tad part is talking about for you. It's called a reflexive tad. So, then a lot of says in the next time, I'll just read the names I'll be quoting. From wherever you start for, Allah tells us, turn thy face. What is that? Turn your character in the direction of the sacred masjid. The sacred masjid represents what? The Kaaba represents what? The original human purity in a perfect way, the way that it was when you and I came out of the wombs of our mother. We were a clean slate. As they say in Latin, a capital rasha, a clean slate with no sin or wrongdoing on us coming up. So Allah is telling you, when you go out into the world, turn your character toward what that house represents. That house represents honor and integrity and moral purity, right? That's what it represents. So it's not telling you, turn your face up, what's where the car about? I gotta look over to the clouds. Now let's talk about your character. Turn your character towards that way. And then Allah says, that is indeed a reveal. That is indeed the truth from your Lord. And Allah is not unmindful of what you do. So you can see right there from the last part, it's talking about what you do and what you don't do. Again, turn thy face in the direction of the sacred masjid. That is indeed the truth from thy Lord. And Allah is not unmindful what you all do, what we do. And then, in the next line, it tells us again, so whatever you strive for, turn thy character in the direction of the sacred masjid. Telling us again. And wherever you are, and he tells us the third time, turn your face that way. Turn your face different. This is, I believe it's at least old English. Turn your face different. This is 150 of two. And he's telling you in the putting line why you should do it, why I should do it, so that there will be no ground of dispute, no ground of hujjah. The word hujjah is dispute, coming from Hajj. What do you do? How do you go to Hajj? So you can wipe your slate clean, start over again, right? So Allah is saying, turn your face that way. There'll be no hujjah against you. In other words, if you're doing right, there shouldn't be no dispute against you, right? Allah didn't know, but it's part of me. It's going to be some dispute. It shouldn't be, but it's part of me. No dispute against you among the people. Except, Allah tells us, except those of them that are bent on wickedness, as I told you before. They're going to be fighting against this these Muslims in this America. From now on, the ones who get on witness, the ones who want white supremacy to reign forever, you know, they're going to be fighting us. Then Allah says, so fear me. Fear them not. We got to do our job, no matter what. Prophet Muhammad, he didn't have no fear. He knew that Allah was with him. We know Allah is with us when we do good, even if one of us gets killed. still lies with us, and we are martyrs, Allah will have us in the paradise as a martyr, living in a more peaceful state than we ever were there in this life. But Allah says, the reason why you should fear Him and not fear Him, so He may complete His favor on us, and you and I may consent to be guided. So again, I've been interdependent in this thing. In fact, Franklin Tuggy wrote a speech, or gave a speech, and he said that you all have the nerve to invite me to the speech here on the 4th of July celebration. It's not, has nothing to do with my independence. It has all to do with your independence from Britain. Right? And then you think about it though. It is, they were oppressed by the British. They were oppressing us at the same time. And it's in 1605. 1776 is when they got this independence thing. So they whooping our tail almost 200 years, or 100 years at least, 150 or so. And yet they became independent from them, and they want us to rejoice it. You know? But may Allah have mercy upon the human family that is bent on trying to do right, and trying to do right. And may Allah punish the wicked with a speedy punishment. I don't have a whole lot of mercy for wicked people. I don't, you know. And ain't that one of my problems, you know. I'm trying to follow what Allah says in Allah says to us. Attack Olaha. And be with those who are truthful and honest. Ravenna. Our Lord, continue our life for us, continue our knowledge for us, forgive us, pursue you the power of all things and all things. Amen.